welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 11 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am your host for the program. I'd like to welcome you once again. Hopefully, this isn't your first time listening, but if it is, hopefully you'll enjoy it. We have a lot to talk about today. We are in Week 2, I guess, of COVID-19 isolation, or whatever you want, pandemic, whatever you want to call this thing. Actually had my first week of working from home this past week, and it was awful quiet, but busy, still busy with work stuff, but no going out, which is what everyone is experiencing, and hopefully this podcast finds you happy and healthy, or at least healthy. We're going to talk a little TTM today. I had a great interview with Charles Fracchia Jr., who is a super collector, and Charles there's a new documentary out on him on Vimeo and on Amazon Prime Video about his journey and quest to get his 1979 San Francisco Giant Media Guide autographed. So it's really a cool video, and we had a great talk with Charles about collecting and about the Giants and about his journey, and hopefully you'll really enjoy that. Charles is a character, and we had fun speaking with Charles. So once again, my name is Jeff Baker. I'm your host. If you have any comments, feedback, or questions regarding this podcast or any podcast, please send me emails to ttmcast@yahoo.com. My email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. As you know, the podcast is available anywhere podcasts are. We are also on Sports Card Forum. Sportscardforum.com. We have a forum, so check that out. If you have an Alexa device, all you have to do with your Alexa device is say, play TTM Cast Podcast, and Alexa plays this episode and all previous episodes. So hopefully that helps you listen to our podcast. Please spread the word, let people know about this podcast. Listeners have gone up considerably over the last 2 months, and we really appreciate everyone that's come aboard. Hopefully, people being locked in and not traveling as much, we can get some new listeners, and hopefully you'll enjoy our show. So our next show will be next Sunday, April 5th. I have a kind of cool interview coming up that I'm going to be actually conducting this afternoon, and we will play it next week's episode. Don't really have a lot in terms of Baker's Good Dozen that's been going on, because it's been obviously very quiet. All the card stores are closed. There is TTM. People have been kind of cutting down on TTM. I actually sent out 6 this week just as a trial to see how it goes. My returns have been almost nil this past week. I just had one return. We'll talk about returns now, and then go into Vern Rapp Minute, and then we will have our interview with Charles Frock. It's a little long. It's almost an hour, but it's really enjoyable, and I think you'll have fun listening to Charles about his journey to get his 1979 San Francisco Giants Media Guide signed. So as I said, returns, I just had one return. It came from John Mayberry from my 1978 top set. Came, I think, on Monday or Tuesday, and no other returns all week. So I have a bunch of stuff out there, and maybe people are hesitant to sign a return, but we will see. As I said, returns have been really has been slow this past week. Now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. This is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away prior to me sending out a TTM request, and I do this in honor of him, to let people know, people who had passed away, so that they don't have the same mistake, make the same faux pas as I did by sending a TTM request to somebody who had passed. So we lost a few people this week, actually one person to the COVID virus, and some other people in the world of sports and entertainment. So let's get right to that. Why don't we talk about the COVID gentleman, Mark Blum, who was an actor, and he was one of the stars of Desperately Seeking Susan. He was 69 years old, and he passed away from complications from the COVID virus, so we lost Mr. Blum. Also, in the world of entertainment, we lost Bill Duffris. Bill Duffris, you might not recognize the name, but Bill was the original voice of Bob the Builder, which is the cartoon for kids. My kids were really huge fans of it back in the day. Mr. Duffris was 62 years old. In the world of football, we lost two former football stars. We lost Mike Stratton, who was a star linebacker for the Buffalo Bills back in the 60s, back in the AFL. He was a six-time AFL All-Star. Mike was 78 years old. And we lost Benny Malone. Benny was a running back for the Miami Dolphins and the Washington Redskins back in the 70s, from 1974 to 79. So we lost Benny Malone and Mike Stratton in the world of football. World of baseball, we lost the toy cannon, Mr. Jimmy Winn. Jimmy Winn was a star outfielder for the Houston Astros. He also was a two-time All-Star with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he played for the Atlanta Braves. And I believe he actually played for 1 year for the New York Yankees as well, all in the 60s, late 60s and into the 70s. So Jimmy Winn, the toy cannon, was 78 years old. And one other person who was kind of crossed, he was a entertainer, he was a athlete, and he was one of my favorites growing up as a kid. He was a member of the Harlem Globetrotters, probably one of the most recognizable members, along with Meadowlark Lemon. We lost Mr. Curly Neal, who was 77 years old, and Curly, of course, was on all sorts of the Harlem Globetrotters shows back in the 70s. He was in the cartoon. He was in the Globetrotters Go to Gilligan's Island. He was very prevalent when Wide World of Sports, when the Globetrotters was on back in the 70s. So we lost Mr. Curly Neal, who was truly a showman and a great athlete, and known for his dribbling. He was 77 years old. So thankful that's enough. We lost a few people this week. Hopefully you are all, everyone is staying safe with this COVID virus, and we're experiencing, everyone's experiencing with social distancing, and only going out when they need to go to the grocery store or the pharmacy, and you're staying safe, and hopefully you're getting caught up with maybe your card organization, or reintroducing yourself to your family. So again, all our my condolences to all the people that we lost and their families who passed away this past week. Again, everyone be safe during this trying time. And now on to A fun interview with Mr. Charles Farrakia Jr. Charles is a super fan. I don't know if he considers himself a super fan, but certainly he is a huge fan of the San Francisco Giants. And we learn about Charles's journey to get his 1979 San Francisco Giant Media Guide autographed by the entire team. So hopefully you enjoy our interview, and I recommend, there is a about a half hour video, like a documentary that somebody did on Charles about his journey. So I recommend that you go check out Vimeo or Amazon Prime Video, and check out his video Adventures of a Superfan. So enjoy our interview with Charles.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast hotline from San Francisco is San Francisco Giants superfan Charles Farrakia Jr. Charles has accomplished something that, as an autograph collector and a collector in general, we should all be envious. So we're going to talk to Charles about his journey to accomplish a huge autograph collecting goal and just talk about the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, and collecting. So welcome to the program, Charles.
Thank you so much. Always happy to talk about the Giants.
I'm sure you are. So, Charles, you have a brand new documentary. I'm going to call it a documentary on Vimeo, and it's available on Amazon Prime, and it's called The Adventures of a Superfan. So, why would somebody do a video about just a regular old baseball fan like yourself?
Well, I have a friend, John Leonidakis, who is a San Francisco native who lives in Los Angeles, who I think he's brilliant, but he may say, no, I'm not, I don't know. And I did a presentation once in a Sabre Society for American Baseball Research kind of lunch. And basically what I had done is I had gotten, from my youth, I was a fan of starting with the 1978 Giants. And so I did a presentation of getting every autograph in a 1979 Giants media guide. And he found this really interesting and really kind of fascinating. And for me, it was, you know, kind of a project, and, you know, I kept rolling with it. And he loved it, and he loved the idea, and he loved the concept. And he said, you know, I want to do a movie about this. And so we scheduled it, and we sat down, and we did it, and he interviewed me. And this was about 3 years ago, and I had already finished the project. And then he came back to me and said, oh, you know, I've been working on all this other stuff, and, you know, I'd like to come back and revisit this, and can we get together and shoot some additional footage? And I said, absolutely. And I had no idea what the film was going to look like. He obviously, I think, had an idea what the film was going to look like. I did not. And, you know, he sent me the trailer, and he sent me clips, and, you know, and it was brilliant. And I never thought of myself as a super fan. I just thought of myself as somebody who loved this team and wanted to continue with, you know, wanted to do something that I think in some way is a testament to fans. It's a testament to, you know, falling in love with the team when you're a kid and kind of continuing it into adulthood.
Yeah, what was strange, in which I really enjoyed, is that the 1978 Giants were not a championship team. They didn't win anything. They weren't a super team, if you will. But
no.
It was, you know, obvious from the beginning that you fell in love with baseball, fell in love with the team, and you kind of stuck with it, even though that wasn't the best team in the history of the Giants. That was your team.
Well, I think part of it speaks to when you become a baseball fan, which for most people, for most kids, I think it's around the time you're 8 or 9 years old. I got a late start. And I ended up spending the summer with my dad's girlfriend, who had two kids who were my age. He was off doing kind of book research. And they were huge baseball fans. They weren't necessarily Giants fans. They were actually kind of Yankee fans. But, you know, in the Bay Area, it's like, so we'd go see the Yankees when they were in town to play the A's. But, you know, to take up kind of time and to do things together, we would go, you know, she'd drop us off at the bus stop, we'd catch the Ballpark Express, and we would go out to Candlestick, which, I will say this, was a horrible ballpark for baseball, but I absolutely loved growing up there. And it's also proof that when you become a baseball fan, your team is not going to necessarily be a world champion. I don't think it generally happens that way. It just, you fall in love with the team that however you fall in love with it. And my team ended up sliding back in September and being a third-place team, but it was a fun team, and, you know, the attendance was, like, you know, went up by, like, a million, and, you know, we had Willie McCovey, who was a San Francisco, he was an icon, and then they traded for Vita Blue, so they had a number one pitcher, and it was exciting. And then they had Mike Ivey coming off the bench to hit, you know, clutch home runs. And, you know, it was one of those things, I will say this a million times, it drew me in, it grabbed me, and it never let go. And
that's
probably one of the reasons why. Sorry.
You go when you go and purchase the media guide when you're a kid, right? Back in 1979, right?
Yeah, and it was discounted from $2 to 95 cents. The discount sticker is still on there.
Now it's just sitting on your shelf for how long before you? I'm going to start getting autographs on this thing.
The first autograph I got was Willie McCovey. And he was doing an autograph signing, and this is back in 1980, and he had retired. And, you know, my sense of it back then was when a player retired, it's like, you know, they kind of disappeared. I had no idea we were going to have the boom of the 80s and autograph signings and everything. And his autograph was $5, which in 1980 was a lot. You know, I paid more for him later on. He was my favorite player. I absolutely loved him. And, you know, miss him. And I think he's one of those players who I think was a better person than he was a player. And saw him get inducted into Cooperstown. That's a whole different story. And went, and the only thing I had to get signed was the media guide. So he became my first autograph in the media guide. And I really kind of didn't think anything of it. It was just, okay, well, I need to get something signed, and I have the media guide, and I'll get McCovey, and, you know. And it was kind of sporadic and not, you know, consistent. It took me 35 years. I didn't really get going into it until probably, I want to say mid-2000s, maybe, early to mid-2000s.
So you were getting one or two here and there.
Yeah.
If someone would come around and say, let me get that media guide out. And get
right, or I would look and see, you know, were they coaching somewhere? Or were they, you know, if I reach out to a minor league franchise that they're connected with, can I get an autograph that way? And it was like, it was very kind of, at times I would contact the post office. And the post office would send you back like a kind of a 3x5 card with the guy's address. And I would just send it off, you know, with no tracking, you know, always with a return envelope. And it was like, cool. And then I'd get it back and it would be signed and I'd be like, awesome, you know. And then I think, you know, come the 2000s, it sort of kind of hyped up. And, you know, I got married. Oh, that's a weird story. I got married and then I ended up getting divorced. And, you know, I'm like, you know, but on my honeymoon, oh, this is funny. On my honeymoon, you know, my bride and I were like, we were in Reno for our honeymoon from San Francisco. I'd never been to Reno. I was like, they had a Shakespeare festival in South Lake Tahoe. And I kind of wanted to go, and she was like, yeah, and we did a car museum. You know, I'm not into gambling or betting, so that wasn't really – I did a little bit, but not a lot. And we kind of drove around Reno trying to find Ed Halicki, who was a Giants pitcher. He had a good year in 78, not a great year. He was like 10-9 with an ERA of around 2.5 or 3, somewhere in there. Did not get a huge amount of run support.
Obviously.
But, you know, he was still in the media guide, and I still wanted to get him. And we had no GPS in the car, and finally we gave up. You know, I'm like, okay, let's go to South Lake Tahoe, and we'll, you know, enjoy, you know, the beauty of the lake and that kind of thing. And we kind of gave up. And I was able to get him years later. And, you know, one of the things with baseball, which I will always believe, is you don't – baseball is a wonderful sport because not only do you have your successes, but you also have your failures. And that's one of the things that I think which I got from the media guide, and to be appreciative of both, you know, to thank the players. I always try to be polite. I always try to be kind. I always try to be, you know, thankful. You know, if a ball player sent me, you know, if I sent the media guide and they sent it back, my mother drilled this into me, send a thank you note. So I would generally do that.
Now, you, I can't believe that you actually brought the media guide on your honeymoon with you, which I fully...
I did. But I also, like, touched base with my ex-wife and said, you know, I want to find this guy's autograph. And he had kind of a, I'm going to say, rural kind of address, because we couldn't find it, and it wasn't on the map. And so, you know, I remember going to not a used car lot, it was a car rental place to get a car. And, you know, they looked at the map and they're like, well, we don't know where he is. And I'm like, I don't know where he is. And it never occurred to me to kind of, you know, sometimes it's like doing a lot of research ahead of time eludes me. So, but it was fun. And, you know, unfortunately, the marriage didn't work. But, you know, you learn from your mistakes, and, you know, which is part of, I think that's part of baseball, too.
Sure. Now, you had a kind of a similar story with Randy Moffitt, right? You
went to his house? I do. In 2009, I went to spring training. I had gotten laid off from my job, which I really liked. I liked that job. And I was working in credit card fraud, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a vacation. I'll come back, and I'll look for work. And so I went to Arizona. I went for spring training. There was another guy who tried to get Tom Heinsohn. You know, I went to his apartment complex. His apartment complex was huge, and I couldn't find him. And they weren't – I went to, you know, the management office, and they weren't willing to give me his apartment number. So I'm like, okay, that's done. And I ended up getting in touch with him through – somebody through the Arizona Diamondbacks organization knew him and got me his autograph that way. But I drove out to Prescott, Arizona – because Randy Moffitt lived there. He's also the brother of Billie Jean King, which is really kind of cool, too. You don't, you know, see a lot of – I don't think you see a lot of, you know, aside from, like, maybe Serena and Venus Williams, you don't see a lot of families that have more than one really great athlete in the family.
Yeah.
And so I drove out to Prescott, which was probably an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Scottsdale. And – you know, got there, showed up 10 minutes early. I figured 9 o'clock is like the bell tower of when you can knock on someone's door. And I did not want to be a stalker type. I tussled back and forth between, you know, am I a stalker? Am I not? You know, I don't want to bother people. I want to be polite. I want to be respectful. You know, that was kind of the way I was raised. I don't want to show up at someone's door and be a horrible person. That was never me. And so I go, and his neighbor, who's in a wheelchair, comes out, and he's like, what are you doing here? What do you want? And I'm like, well, I'd like to, you know, and I was really nervous, and I would always get kind of a little bit of agitation, you know, prior to seeing a ball player, and, you know, because I always felt like I would then go back in a time machine, I'd be about 13 years old or 14 years old. And so he said, you know, let me call him. So he's on his cell phone and calls him, and he says, oh, Randy said, take a hike. So I was like, okay. So I drove, and I pulled into a gas station, and I filled up, and I'm like, you know, take a hike. Should I go back? You know, and I was like, no, he said, take a hike. I'm going to go back to Scottsdale. I'm going to go to the spring training game. And I was like, I wasn't devastated, but I thought, you know, well, maybe Randy might be the only autograph I don't get. So.
But then you did get him.
And I did get him, oh, God, a few years later, they had a Giants alumni event. And I'm on the streetcar, and I'm going out to AT&T Ballpark. And I'd gotten a book for a friend of mine about, I think it was like the 2010 Giants or 2012 Giants. And she said, oh, I want to get it signed. And they were doing a book signing right across the street from the ballpark at this pub. And it was Brian Murphy, and I forget who the photographer was. I apologize. And so I went, and I got it signed, and it was, you know, for my friend and neighbor, Diane. And we're good friends, and we were – every Giants World Series clinching game I went to, I saw at her house.
Good luck to her.
And we would go out in the front of her house and, you know, in San Lorenzo, and I would, like, grab a bottle of champagne and, you know, spritz champagne on both of us. And it was fun. You know, that's one thing about baseball is if you can't have fun with baseball, I think something's wrong with you. Unless you're a player, and then it's a job, you know.
True.
But
so we're talking about Randy Moffitt.
So I get there, and I got there early, and I was like, oh, you know, and I'm sitting there, I'm talking to these two guys, and, you know, and I had no idea why they were there. And I was like, and one guy says, oh, I'm Randy. And I said, I'm Charles, nice to meet you. And it was like, it didn't click that it was him. And, you know, and finally at one point in the conversation, I said, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for Randy Moffitt. And the guy goes, oh, I'm Randy Moffitt. And he goes, kind of, what do you want? And I'm like, oh, could you sign my media guide? And he's like, yeah. And he kind of like looked at me kind of sideways and like, you know, why would you want my autograph? And, you know, does this, you know, I don't understand why, you know. You know, I don't have an answer for that, but it's like, you know, and I did not want him to think I was a soccer dad. I just wanted his autograph and not to bother him. And then it kind of, I was talking to like the other autograph collector out there. This is like early on a Saturday morning. And the other autograph collector I was trying to, I think I was like low on my list of people that I needed. And he connected me with one of the other autographs that I needed, which was Greg Johnson, who was like a minor league, you know, outfielder who had disappeared from the scene and didn't really have a career.
Did you call a cup of coffee?
I did not.
You did not.
I was nervous enough as it was, and I did not want to kind of go there.
Now, I'm really a TTM guy through the mail. I sent out
right, and I did a lot of that too.
No, I know you did. And that's kind of what
some
I'm
I did with card shows. Some I did where I was contact a guy and they'd be like, "Oh yeah, send it back." You know, and I had kind of a mixed success with that. I got Johnny LeMaster, who was their shortstop, who was not a good hitting shortstop, but who I liked. And of my friends growing up, I was the only one who would not boo him because I felt like he did his best. I felt like he was a professional shortstop. I felt like, and one day, I think in 79 or 80, and he was not a good hitter, but he was. I thought that he was good defensively, and that's probably my own recollection. he may not have been, but. And so I sent it to him, and it was to a P.O. box, and I called him. And at that point, he was coaching college baseball. And so I contacted the college, and they put me through to his office, and he picked up. And we actually had like a 10 or 15 minute conversation. And I was like very nervous. And I was like, you know, oh, you know, I sent it to your P.O. box. And he goes, well, let me look and check and whatever. It's not a big size box. And, you know, if it's there, I'll send it back. And I'm like, okay, are you sure? You know, I could do a trace. And he's like, no, let me check. And this is one of the weirdest things about this whole thing was it came back to me on the day that I got back to my apartment building. And it came back on the day that the Giants opened their new ballpark, which at that point I think was, it could have been SBC ballpark, and then it became AT&T, and then it became something else, and now it's Oracle ballpark. And it was just, it was weird. And then I had one other guy, Art Gardner, and I sent it off to him, and he ended up keeping it for 9 months, which I have no idea why.
Ouch.
I don't think he got a lot of autograph requests, so he clumped them all together and waited till, you know. And his autograph from my media guide arrived back the day I got back from the 2010 World Series parade. And it's like, it's just, it's weird how a couple times it fell on kind of significant dates.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't have an answer for it, and I don't have, there's, it's a karma thing.
Well, it's certainly circling you. I mean, I collect the 1978 set autographs, so you and I are swimming in the same pond in a lot of instances. And if you know, the 78 cards is four, the rookie cards is four guys on a lot of those.
That must be a lot of work.
So you have to send it out and then wait for it, and then it comes back. It's like you. So, you know, to get three or four guys on a card, because sometimes the guys have passed away, is difficult. And I'm always apprehensive about sending out the card once I've got two or three autographs on it already that these guys don't know me from Adam, and they don't owe me anything to sign it. But, you know, I've had pretty good luck.
But I would always send them a nice note and I had one guy in Oregon, McMinnville, Oregon, Mike Rex, who never made the majors. I think the highest he made was AAA and didn't play above AAA or maybe AA. I can't remember. And I talked to a couple buddies of mine, and I said, you know, you guys want to do a road trip? And they're like, yeah, where are we going? I said, McMinnville, Oregon. Why are we going there? I said, Mike Rex. And they're like, they looked at me, and they were like, they just went stone blank and said, who's Mike Rex? And I said, well, he's a school teacher, but he played in the Giants minor league system, and he's in the media guide. And, you know, and they're like, yeah, let's go. So I rented a car, and we drove up there, and I drove the whole way because it was my rental car. You know, and you're not supposed to cross state lines, which I didn't know. They did charge me for the miles, but that's fine. And I showed up, and we got up there, and it was like evening, late to mid evening. And I said to my buddies, I said, you guys want to come with me while I get his autograph? And they looked at me and they're like, no. And I'm like, okay. I said, so I looked at the map.
They made you go by yourself?
They made me go by myself.
What friends you got?
Hey, I was happy to get him in a car to drive, you know, 8 to 10 hours to go to Oregon, you know, rural Oregon. And, you know, I'm friends with one of the guys. The other guy sadly has passed. And, you know, so I get to the school and I walk in there and I walk into the reception area and I start telling the receptionist a story. And she kind of puts her hand up. It's like she doesn't want to hear the story. I'm like, okay. Could you call this teacher to the front office? And she does. And he comes to the front office, and I'm like, yeah, my name's Charles. And I had written this guy, I had emailed this guy, and I called this guy, and I got zero responses back. So this is like, I don't know what I'm going to get back. And I said, but could you sign my media guide? And he looks at me, and I said, I drove all the way from San Francisco for this. And he goes, you drove all the way up for this? And I'm thinking, oh, God, what's his next line going to be? He goes, okay, I'll sign it. And I pull it out, and he signs it. I'm like, okay. I did not think to do, you know, kind of a selfie with him or anything like that. And I'm like, you know, so I'm like, thank you so much, and have a nice day. And he's like, looking at me like, I think he's shaking his head going, this guy is nuts. And so I drive back, and I'm like, I see like a CVS or Walgreens. I'm like, well, I got to get postcards because we got to send postcards. And I have no idea why I think of this. I'm like, yeah, Stanford. He goes, yeah. So I give postcards and stamps to my buddies, and we're all like scrawling out, you know, postcards and sending them back. You know, we're going to be back before they arrive. And it's like, you know, but it was kind of weird because it's like, I remember driving up there, and it's like we get to like the California Oregon border, and there's a sign on one side saying you're now leaving California, entering Oregon, but there's no sign on the way back. And it's like, that was kind of weird. And I'm like, okay. And the fact that I drove the whole way myself, I was like, I got back and I was like exhausted. It was like 20 hours of driving.
I'm sure. Now, the thing I like about collecting the set is that I enjoy getting the autograph back from the guys, you know, the Steve Garveys and Raleigh Fingers and those guys. But I really enjoy getting the cards back from the everyday regular guys. You know what I mean? It gives me a thrill when, and I'll drop a name for you because I just got him the other day, Hector Cruz. When Hector Cruz signs me.
Oh, I love Hector. Hector's awesome.
He signs a card for me. I'm like, this is the greatest. So
he was
really
the nicest guy. He really was. But I agree with you. I like the guys who had a cup of coffee, or the guys who were like, you know, didn't quite make it to the majors, or that kind of thing. You know, that to me is special. And you're kind of acknowledging them for, you know, my thought process has always been, if you got paid to play baseball, whether you made the majors or whether you didn't, that was special. And Hector was awesome. He was the last autograph in the media guide. I don't know if you want me to go into the story now. I can if you want.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you? And then one other story, if you will, from the video. Let me just preface, let everyone know. We're speaking with Charles Farrakia Jr. He is a super fan. He has a video, a documentary out that one of his acquaintances produced.
If you Google Superfan, it comes up. Yep. Or you can look at for John Leonidakis, The Sweet Spot. And he's done a series of movies about baseball, but they're from a slightly different perspective than what you might ordinarily get. And they're wonderful movies.
I'm gonna have to.
And I think now, since we're all kind of self-contained in our homes, it's not, you know, it's a good series to watch.
Yep, and it's available on Vimeo, and it's also available on Amazon Prime Video. So you don't need to have pay any fees to be a member of Vimeo. That's free. I believe Amazon Prime is
might be $1.50 a month.
I think you can get on for free. I think they give you a trial.
Okay, all right. You may be right. I'm not certain about that.
Yeah, so I know my daughter has an account, but I think you actually can go on and you can watch it for free. And it's about a half hour. It's a very enjoyable watch. You learn all about some of the things that Charles is talking about with us today, about his quest to get his 1979 San Francisco Giants media guide signed.
And I've had people ask me, well, why 79? I said, well, it had the 78 team. And then I included guys from 78 who had left. Charlie Williams, I think, was basically kind of either retired or didn't want to go play any further. So he retired after 78.
Yeah, he
died of cancer a few years ago. I sent it off to him, and I put, you know, a sticky note on it, sign here, and he signed the sticky note. So I just kept the sticky note with the media guide. I'm like, okay, I still got his autograph. It's just hilarious, one of those things, you know.
That's funny.
Skip James.
Right? Yeah. What happened there?
He lives in, I want to say, Overland Park, Kansas. I can never remember which city in Kansas he lives in. Overland Park. I always get it confused with Leawood. I don't know why. But he lives in Overland Park, Kansas. And at this point, he was down to less than 10. I want to say maybe less than 5. And I called, I went on the internet. I had a 10-year history of working in credit card fraud. So I got very good with finding suspects and finding, identity theft victims. And so I would, Google them and find them and, call them and say, can I send you the media guide? And they'd, say yes. And I would send it out. I would include a return envelope and it would come back, usually within about 2 weeks. And so I called and spoke with, I assume it was his wife. I don't know. I think so. And I said, could I send a media guide out? And she goes, oh, yeah. Send it. And, and I waited a couple months and I was like, I didn't know if he was, holding on to it for other autographs. I didn't know what was going on. So I call her and, I start into a spiel and she hangs up. I'm thinking, well, maybe the phone dropped. I don't know. And I call her back again, and it goes to voicemail. Leave a message, and I never got a reply back. And I'm like, I went on the internet. I asked my other collector friends. I said, "What do I do?" And they're like, "Oh, you're done. That's it. You're not getting it back." And I'm like, I'm a firm believer in, and I think I got this from my mother. Aside from thank you notes, it's like that. If you kind of throw it out there, that you may get a response back. So I wrote to his local police department. Kind of a shot in the dark. I did not want to go to Overland Park, Kansas to try and pick it up.
Yep.
And from San Francisco, and I had no idea how to do that. And I was like, so I got a call back from the police department, and they said, from their PR person. And she goes, well, is it worth $1,000? And I said, I don't, I looked at that. I looked at what I was doing. I was like, yeah, I think so. And she goes, oh, okay, if he doesn't return it, we'll charge him with a felony. And I was like, that blew my mind. I was like, I didn't know how quite to respond to that. I'm like, okay. I was like trying to keep my tongue in my mouth and my jaw off the floor. And she goes, if you don't get it back in 2 weeks, let me know. And I said, okay. And so within about 4 days, I had it back. And she still contacted me back and said, just want to make sure you got it. And I said, yeah, I did. And she goes, okay, all right. And I sent her a thank you note. I did not send Skip James a thank you note.
You think he was going to hold on to it, or you don't have any idea?
It was sitting in the envelope in the Fern Hall, and he had done nothing with it. I don't think they'd even opened it.
Oh, okay.
So I don't, it was just kind of weird. And I can't imagine that he gets a lot of autograph requests in the first place. But why would you not just sign it and send it back? It's like, that always was kind of weird. And then I called one guy and got a hold of his wife, and she was very nice. And I started this, and she goes, "Oh, he's in a media guy. He had never made the majors, but I think he topped out at AAA." And she goes, "Oh yeah, he'd be glad to sign it and send it back. I had no idea it was in it." You know, she was very nice, and she was in, I think, Brenham, Texas, and I sent it. And I got it. Not only did I get it back, but I got a really nice note back from him, Mark Cooker. And Mark, you know, his email basically said, you know, "Thank you so much. And fans like you are what make the game great." And that was really kind of touching to me.
Now, what most surprised you about the whole quest? Is it's five star people are interested in it, or that we're dealing with, you know, with?
Yeah, I never thought of it as, you know, John did this film, and it's like, I never thought of it as, you know, a great thing. I mean, it's, to me, it was part of kind of living my life in a sporadic kind of thing. And I would look and see where these ball players were. And I got Larry Herndon. Larry Herndon was our center fielder, and he was the hitting coach for the Detroit Tigers at that point that I got him. And, you know, so they're Detroit. This is before interleague play, and Detroit's playing the Oakland A's. So I go over to the Oakland A's, and he's there, and he's hitting, you know, doing fungos with some guy behind the, you know, backstop. And I said, "Mr. Herndon." And he goes, "Yeah, what do you want?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to get your autograph." And that's okay. He goes, "Meet me by the dugout. I'll be there." And it was, like, amazing because everybody was, like, packed around the dugout, and I don't know, they might have been trying to get Prince Fielder or someone like that. And I was like, and here I was. It's like I wanted the hitting coach, Larry Herndon, you know. And then Herm Surrett was the bullpen coach for the Boston Red Sox, and the Red Sox were playing the A's. So I go down there, and he had his jacket on, so I couldn't read the back of his jersey. I said, "You know, I'm looking for Herm Surrett." And he goes, "Oh, I'm Herm Surrett." And I said, "Well, I'm a media guide." And he is one of those guys who had moved on after 78 to be the pitching coach for, I'm trying to remember who. It wasn't the Cubs, although he did coach with the Cubs. But it was like a different team. And it was like, you know, and it's kind of one of those things that, you know, with baseball, you know, I get Baseball America and I'd look and see where these people, where some of them were coaching, because a lot of them had gone into coaching careers.
Yeah. And was he surprised that you were looking for his autograph?
Yeah, a lot of them were. I mean, you know, and these, some of them were baseball lifers, and, you know, some of them were not. And John Tamargo, who was kind of a backup catcher with the Giants and was in the media guide, and, you know, he was coaching with the, when Houston was in the National League, and it was like 99, and it was like the last kind of year of Candlestick Park. And so I go out there, and, you know, I yell over, and I'm like down the left field line, and he's like, "Yeah, what do you want?" And I was like, "You know, could I get your autograph, please?" And he goes, "Yeah, tell me one thing, baseball trivia." And I said, "Okay." He goes, "Who hit the game-winning home run in the opening day of the 1979 baseball season?" And I said, "Oh, that's easy. It was you." And I happened to be at the game. I happened to remember it. I was like, it was bottom of the ninth, and, you know, McCovey had singled, and they pinch ran for him, and Tamargo came up and hit a walk-off home run. I was like, damn, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, ball player, you know, one of the things is you forget ball players are people. You know, one of the things I've stressed, you know, kind of throughout my life, and my mom's been gone now about 5 years, but she gave me some really good life lessons, is be polite to people and say please and say thank you. And, you know, if you kind of can, like, don't, you know, I think there's an attitude among autograph collectors of gimme and not saying please and thank you. And it's like, you know, I don't know why you would do that. It doesn't serve your purpose.
No, I agree.
So
the kids, I think some of the kids today are really more into it for the value of it, as opposed to the love of the autograph of love.
Right.
So,
and I've had people ask me, "Well, what's the value of the mini guide?" I'm like, I don't know, you know. But we can circle back now to Hector Cruz.
Sure.
If you're okay with that.
Of course.
And I sent him a letter because I had no idea. You know, I had an address for him, didn't know if it was the right address. And sent it to him and said, you know, here's who I am. you know, I would like to get your autograph. I'm going to be in Chicago. I was going to the National. I think it was may have been the first time I went to the National, and the first year was in Chicago that I went, because this was about, this was 2015.
Okay.
So about 5 years ago. And so I sent him an email, or I sent him a, I didn't have his email address, but I sent him a letter with a return mail envelope, and I got it back, and he had actually signed my letter, and also I had requested to get his email address. So I think 2 weeks before I was going to go, I sent him an email, and then a week before I was going to go, I sent him an email, and I didn't get a reply back either time. And I said, well, I'm going to bring the media guide, and I'm going to go, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, so I go, and I'm at the hotel, and, you know, and I go to the address that I had, which turned out to be his rental property, which I did not know. And so I get there, and I'm like, you know, I ring the bell, and there's an upstairs, and I ring the bell, and nobody answers. I go around the back. I'm like, there's nobody there. And I go across the street because there are a couple of people hanging out. I think they were sitting in a porch swing. And I said, you know, the guy across, you know, Hector Cruz. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's his rental property. And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, you know, and they basically kind of said, you know, with the information I had, oh, yeah, we knew he was a ball player and nice guy and, you know, don't see him often. And I'm like, okay. And I go back to the hotel and I go to the business center and I'm like, and the week I was in Chicago was the week that my cell phone chose not to work. I could do selfies and that was it. And I had nothing else. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work out. And so I go to the business center and I email him from the business center. And I say, you know, I'm like, how is he going to get in touch with me? And so I give him the phone number for the hotel and the room number. And I said, I hope he gets this. And the next day we're sitting in the hotel. It's me, the guy who I'm working for, Bob, and maybe like a couple other people. And we're all kind of hanging out just, you know, waiting for the show. And, you know, we had another day and we got there early. And the phone rings in the hotel room. And I just was like, you know, I think I said this, you know, I thought I was going to basically have kittens. I was like, you know, and I go in and I answer, and he's like, you know, we're watching Oprah or something. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, oh, this is Hector Cruz. I said, oh, it's so nice to hear from you. I think my voice might have changed an octave or two. And I said, you know, I'd really like to get your autograph. And, you know, he goes, well, can you come by tomorrow? And I said, well, yeah. And I was like, and then it flashed a moment. Well, if he dies in his sleep or something, I'm screwed. And I said, you know, can I come by today? And this was like mid-afternoon. It was probably like 2-ish. And he goes, oh, yeah. And then I made the mistake of sort of starting to ask him directions. And I was like, I'm like, never mind. I will be there. I'll be there as soon as I get there. And he goes, okay. You know, and I'm like, you know, so I go back down to the business. And I'm like, hey, Bob, I'll see you when I get back. And he goes, okay. And I go to the business center. And I get directions on how to get there. And it's like one streetcar and like a 50-minute bus ride. And so I do that. And it's like two stops and then the bus. And it's like, you know, and I get off the bus stop. And it's like, you know, there's a big kind of building. It's not a tall building, but a long building. It's for, you know, a construction building or something. And I walk down the first street, and there's no street sign. So it's like, I don't know what street I'm on. You know, I know what the address is, but I don't know what the – and so I walk up, and I look for the house number, and I ring the bell, and, you know, this little dog comes to the window and starts barking at me. I'm like, nobody's home. I'm like, okay. And there's a guy sitting in the car, and he's talking to this woman. You know, and I said to him, I'm looking for this street. And he goes, oh, next block over. I'm like, okay, thank you. And I walk the next block over, and, you know, his wife comes out. And I said, you know, my name's Charlie. And I'm wearing, like, I'm probably one of, like, as far as I know, one of two people that actually has a Johnny LeMaster number 10 Giants jersey that I will break out and wear proudly. You know, I usually break it out for, like, the Giants home opener for the season. And he goes, okay. She goes, hold on just a minute. You know, I think they had dogs and they were putting the dogs downstairs. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I think. And so he comes up and he goes, yes, my name's Hector Cruz. I said, oh, it's so nice to meet you. And it was all I could do to not burst into tears because I was like, I spent 35 years doing this and this was the last one and the end of the quest. And, you know, it was like, you know, kind of an Indiana Jones surreal kind of experience. And I'm like, you know, here. And then I had gone to Photo Day in 1978, and I actually managed to get the pictures I had taken, which were not a lot. He was one of them, McCovey, Madlock, Mike Ivey, Ed Halicki, I think, and, you know, got him signed to, you know, so it's like, but I did an extra print for him of his picture and gave it to him. But he was very nice, and I was like, thank you so much, and, you know. And I left, and it was like, I think I was about 3 feet off the ground. I don't think my feet touched, you know, until I got to the bus stop. And then it was kind of like, it kind of hit me, and I'm like, what do I do now?
Now like, what?
Exactly. I had no idea. You know, it was just, you know, I was like, okay, you know, and it's like, you know, I did it because it was a project. I did it because I liked it. I did it because it was fun. You know, have I done kind of other kind of projects? Yeah, I've got a NLCS Giants MVP ball, which I have the six guys who, you know, were the NLCS MVPs. And then I have a second one because I lost the first one and started working on it again. And so I'm missing one on the second one. And then I have a Giants 50th anniversary poster. I need to get Felipe Alou, who I was supposed to get in Arizona a week ago, and it all fell through.
Yeah, I've seen on the site that he's been signing lately, so I think you'll be able to get him.
Well, except for the whole coronavirus thing.
I know now.
Yeah. But I was very disappointed because I had that kind of well set up. And as I said, it all fell through, and, you know, and I don't want to get them sick, and I don't want to infect other people, and, flying and then getting I had an Airbnb set up, and that kind of fell through. And then I was like, I thought about, you know, I absolutely love and adore Willie McCovey. He was my favorite Giant. And so I thought, well, I can do maybe four Willie Mack, you know, Willie Mack award winner balls by decade. And that kind of fell through because of this whole thing, too. And I'm like, okay, well, so I have Hunter Pence on one ball. And I'm going to have Dave Dorecki on another ball, you know, and that's where I am. But I do like doing these projects. It's been an interesting experience.
Yeah, I mean, you do it a little different in terms of you go out and actually meet these guys and they're all...
I try to if I can. If I can't, then I'll do by mail. You know, my family, I don't think, quite had a concept of what I was doing. And then I sent them the film, and they're like, oh, my God. You know, they're like, okay, wow. But, yeah, I heard from, like, a couple uncles and my three sisters, and they were all kind of impressed. And I was like, you know, that's the other thing is I get people who are like, they're so impressed because I can't believe I did this.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Now, what's the plans for the media guy? Do you have any plans for it? Are you going to
go
to the Giants? Or?
Eventually, it will go to the Giants. When I am deceased and no longer around, I think it should go to the Giants. The other piece of memorabilia I have that I'm going to donate to the Giants is I have the first year that they did World Series rings was 1922. And I had an appointment and was meeting a friend, and we were doing dinner, and it was the day after my mom had died. My mom had died of cancer back in 2014, the end of 2014. And so I went to my appointment, and, you know, my buddy sticks his head out of this little shop and says, oh, come in here. And I'm talking with this very nice woman who owned the shop and everything. And, you know, we're talking about kind of losing relatives. And she goes, oh, when did your mom die? And I said, oh, yesterday. And she had this horrified look on her face. And I said, no. She had cancer. She was in pain. She's no longer in pain. And she goes, okay. And, you know, her grandfather had kind of a cup of coffee with the New York Giants and the Boston Red Sox and had a long career in the PCL and was a coach. And he had died around the mid-80s. And she turned to us and said, you know, could you keep an eye on my shop? And luckily, there was no one there. I don't know retail much. And so my friend looked at each other, and we're like, yeah, we could do this. I'm like, nobody came in. We were so relieved. And she comes back and she goes, I want you to have this. And it was her grandfather's 1922 World Series ring.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. It's not big. It's not ornate. It's just a nice, very simple ring with a little diamond in it. And the next time I was in the neighborhood, my mom collected ceramic rabbits. So I brought her one of my mom's rabbits. Now, then people say, well, that's, I don't know if that's a fair trade. I'm like, you know, she gave me what she wanted, and I gave her something that I wanted. And, you know, it's one of those things in life, I think, that connects you, connects fans together. It connects people together. You know, one of the things that I discovered, you know, with this media guide partnership, I could not have done this without my friends. Whether they understood what I was doing, whether they knew why I wanted to do it, you know, regardless of that, it's like they were there for me.
And yeah.
I don't think you can ask for more than that.
You can really tell that through the video. I mean, the guys that were interviewed for the movie.
Definitely. Or... And I'm kind of, you know, they had a couple of, I had a couple of other friends who I wish they kind of had interviewed, and I don't think there was just time for it.
Right,
so,
cool.
But it's a very nice video, and I hope your listeners, if they get a chance, if they watch it, because John did a brilliant job with this, and I'm happy and proud to be, you know, one of his subjects and that it came out so well.
Why don't you give everyone a reminder of how to access the video, how to watch the video, and...
If you go to Amazon Prime or Vimeo, you can either... I generally, when they say search, it's like I just do Superfan because it pops up. But if you want to do Adventures of Superfan, that's fine. John's series is called The Sweet Spot, and there are three seasons. And one of his themes is, you know, he talks about race relations in baseball and has a really interesting interview. And I can't remember who he interviewed somebody. Oh, God, I can't remember who he interviewed, but it was very good. And then he talks about women in baseball, which is like he did, that's one of his seasons too. And it's, he has a very interesting and unique take on women in baseball and why they're sort of excluded and why they shouldn't be.
Well, I'm going to have to check it out. But, guys, check out Charles' video. The video is called The Adventures of Superfan. It is on Vimeo. It is on Vimeo, sorry, and is on Amazon Prime Video. It is it's a fun watch. It's about a half hour. I had my whole family watching it last night because we're all stuck in
the house. Did they all like it?
They loved it. Both my
kids. I always like to ask. I don't know why. I just feel some like, you know, I've never heard anybody say they didn't like it. I showed it to this woman who I work with, and she goes, oh, this is wonderful. I love this. And then she goes, I'm not really a baseball fan, but it's great. And I'm like, okay.
Both my kids are college-age kids. They have no interest in sports at all, and they enjoyed it. My wife hates sports, and she enjoyed it. So it's not necessarily just it's a sports video, but for me, I had a smile on my face the whole time watching it because I'm like,
yeah,
he's one of me.
But it's interesting because I have a friend of mine, Eric Gray, who wrote a book, and I'm blanking on the title of his book, and it's like, you know, but it's a big, semi kind of thick book, and it's the same. It's sort of my story, but it's a bunch of different stories about not baseball so much, but life and like a little bit of baseball. And it's like, you know, and it's kind of there. And as I said, you know, if it wasn't for my friends, you know, this doesn't happen. You know, I had a sports writer, Dan Brown, in The Athletic, who interviewed me, I think, last August about this project. And he goes, you know, if it wasn't for you being polite and being nice, this would have never happened. You know, and part of it is, you know, you're going to get rejections. It happens in life. It happens, you know. But persistence does pay off.
Yep. It does. So, well, I want to thank you for your time today, Charles. It was a pleasure speaking with you. You know, I didn't know anything about your journey until I saw the post on Facebook yesterday, actually. And I watched the video last night. So I'm glad we could.
I try and post it to my Facebook groups, but it's like I'm probably too many baseball groups, and you know. But I want people to kind of see it, and you know, now people have a lot of time. So
that's right. All right. Well, you be safe in this dangerous.
You
time
too.
That
Thank you so much
right
for
now.
Contacting me, and I hope your fans like this interview.
I hope so too, and I will. I'm hoping to post it this weekend for you.
All right. Thank you so much. All have right. a nice day.
All right. You too.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I've been your host for the program. Hopefully you enjoyed our interview with Mr. Charles Frocchia Jr. I'd like to thank him for joining us today. I want to wish everyone a happy and healthy week. Hopefully you stay safe during our pandemic that we're experiencing, and hopefully this will end sooner than later, and we can all get back to our normal routine, which includes sending out gobs and gobs of TTM requests. So I wish you many happy returns.